only a little faster than walking pace. Esk jumped down, pulled the staff from its temporary hiding place among the bags and pails on the side of the wagon, and ran back along the line of carts and animals. Through her tears, she caught a glimpse of Simon peering from the back of the wagon, an open book in his hands. He gave her a puzzled smile and started to say something, but she ran on and veered off the track. Scrubby windbrushes scratched her legs as she scrambled up a clay bank, and then she was running free across a barren plateau hemmed in by the orange cliffs. She didn't stop until she was good and lost, but the anger still burned brightly. She had been angry before, but never like this. Normally, anger was like the red flame you got when the forge was first lit, all glows and sparks, but this anger was different. It had bellows behind it, and it narrowed to the tiny blue-white flame that cuts iron. It made her body tingle. She had to do something about it or burst. Why was it that when she heard Granny ramble on about witchcraft, she longed for the cutting magic of wizardry? But whenever she heard Treacle speak in his high-pitched voice, she would fight to the death for witchcraft. She'd be both, or none at all, and the more they intended to stop her, the more she wanted it. She'd be a witch and a wizard too, and she would show them. Esk sat down under a low-spreading juniper bush at the foot of a steep, sheer cliff, her mind seething with plans and anger. She could sense doors being slammed before she had barely begun to open them. Treacle was right. They wouldn't let her inside the university. Having a staff wasn't enough to be a wizard. There had to be training, too, and no one was going to train her. The midday sun beat down off the cliff, and the air around Esk began to smell of bees and gin. She lay back, looking at the near-purple dome of the sky through the leaves, and eventually she fell asleep. One side effect of using magic is that one tends to have realistic and disturbing dreams. There is a reason for this, but even thinking about it is enough to give a wizard nightmares. The fact is that the mind of wizards can give thoughts a shape. Witches normally work with what actually exists in the world, but a wizard can, if he's good enough, put flesh on his imagination. This wouldn't cause any trouble if it wasn't for the fact that the little circle of candlelight, loosely called the universe of time and space, is adrift in something much more unpleasant and unpredictable. Strange things circle and grunt outside the flimsy stockades of normality. There are weird hootings and howlings in the deep crevices at the edge of time. There are things so horrible that even the dark is afraid of them. Most people don't know this, and this is just as well, because the world could not really operate if everyone stayed in bed with the blankets over their head, which is what would happen if people knew the horror's lair shadows whipped the way. The problem is people interested in magic and mysticism spend a lot of time loitering on the very edge of the light, as it were, which gets them noticed by the creatures from the dungeon dimensions, who then try to use them in their indefatigable efforts to break into this particular reality. Most people can resist this, but the relentless probing by the things is never stronger than when the subject is asleep. Bel Shamhoroth Cahooligan, the Insider, the hideous old dark gods of the Necrotelecomnicon, the book known to certain mad adepts by its true name of Liber Paginarum Fulvarum, are always ready to steal into a slumbering mind. The nightmares are often colourful and always unpleasant. Esk had got used to them ever since that first dream after her first borrowing, and familiarity had almost replaced terror. When she found herself sitting on a glittering, dusty plain under unexplained stars, she knew it was time for another one. "Drat," she said. "All right, come on then. Bring on the monsters. I just hope this isn't the one with the winkle on his face." By this time, it seemed that the nightmare had changed. Esk looked around and saw, rearing up behind her, a tall black castle. Its turrets disappeared among the stars. Lights and fireworks and interesting music cascaded from its upper battlements. The huge double doors stood invitingly open. There seemed to be quite an amusing party going on in there.